the secret to happiness. Do you want to know what the secret to happiness is? I know you do. Man, if I could just be happy. As a matter of fact, that's all I hear about is that I have a right to be happy. I just want to be so happy. What can I do to be happy? The thing about the secret to happiness is, it's not a secret. It is not a secret. I want you to understand something. God wants you to be happy. He's not going to tell you, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, but not really. Just kidding. God wants you to be happy. Might be someone sitting out here thinking, oh man, there it is. I found a preacher that agrees with me. I've been trying to tell my friends, I've been trying to tell my coworkers, I've been trying to tell anybody who listens that I have a right to be happy. And the preacher even said so. God says He wants me to be happy, so that's why I can make decisions that make me happy. Folks, would you believe that's exactly how a lot of people reason in their minds? People are living lives that are contrary to God's will in the name of happiness. In the name of happiness. I have a right to be happy. And because I have a right to be happy, I can choose to live however I want to live. Question. What if the way I live makes me happy, but it hurts others? Now you think about that for a moment. What if it hurts someone else? For example, I choose to have an affair on my wife because, well, by George, I have a right to be happy. I have a right to be happy. And because I have a right to be happy, don't I have a right to have an affair on her? I mean, happiness is the ultimate goal here. Of course not. So what determines happiness? What determines happiness? I'm glad you asked that question because God sheds light on that very subject in the book of Psalm in chapter 1. As Austin read for us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's a mouthful, but it's worthy of our time and our attention this morning. First, notice the word blessed. Blessed is the man. Now, the Hebrew word there is ashrei. Not ashtray. Ashrei. And it denotes a sense of joy. Happiness. I've reached a state, my circumstances, I'm pleased with. I'm happy, you see. Happy is the man, we could read it. Notice in verse 1 what the author does. He does not share or show you what to do to be happy at first. At first, the author tells you what not to do. What not to do. Don't sit there. Don't stand there. Don't walk there. Sounds like your mom and dad, huh? Or your teacher. That's the way he begins. Let's pay close attention to this psalm this morning. What not to do. Now, the author tells us, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, you pay attention to what he's saying. Stand not in the path of sinners. Sit not in the seat of the scornful. In other words, don't hang out with bad guys. Stay away from them. They're trouble. And this is a prelude to what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. Linda, I almost said it again. This week when I was preparing the lesson, I almost put in there that be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. And I was glad I caught myself on that. I think the grammar gods were against me, because every time I even spoke to my phone, I had to go back and delete things. It was messing things up all week long. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. But bad company corrupts good habits. Man, is this a message for our young people or what? But you know what I'm learning? This is a message for all people, not just our young people. We have all seen, or maybe even personally experienced, the adverse effects of hanging out with the wrong crowd. You see, what happens is this. First, we associate with them, and then guess what? Don't tell me we don't. We begin to behave like them. We begin to act like them. You know, I may not have ever mentioned this before. When Kathy and I moved here 15 years ago, we were house shopping. One of the areas of Fairborn that we were shopping for a home, there is a sewage treatment plant in this certain development. And the realtor, when she was showing us homes, showed us that home in particular. And when you even drove out the road, there was a stench. You smelled it. You know, it was prominent and prevalent. Got out of the vehicle, and she started showing us all the, you know, all the positives about this new home, or not a new home, but this home. And I asked her, I said, that smell, oh yeah, that's the sewage treatment facilities down the road. And I said, oh, is that smell just, I mean, is that, oh, it comes and it goes. You just have to get used to it. Now, we kind of back up, what? But I'm here to tell you, sin has a stench. And instead of, because I'm going to tell you, when she said that, I said, not me. I'm not going to get used to it. I don't want any part of it. Next, show me another home. But there are folks that have so compromised their convictions, their values, their morals, that, well, maybe I can get used to it. I can learn to modify my life to some extent to be okay with it. And then when we head down that path, you see, then we begin to look like it. We begin to smell like it. Sin has a stench, folks. You ever, don't mention any names, but, you know, maybe someone's gone out and they've gone for a nice run and they worked up a good sweat and then they step into the room, or they're standing there, and you're like, you know, you've got to walk away from them. Because it's kind of, body odor's kind of strong, you know. But you know what's funny? They don't smell it a lot of times. The feller who smells, he oftentimes doesn't smell his own stink because he's become used to it. That's the way it is with people who are wrapped up, caught up in this scenario right here. Only those who are clean, who aren't walking around with a body odor, can smell that. You might be sitting there saying, but wait a minute, Scott. Didn't Jesus associate with sinners? He absolutely did. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Jesus, he ate with sinners and tax collectors. But here's the challenge for you this morning. I challenge anyone to show me one single shred of evidence where Jesus ever participated in their sins. Now, you show me that, we're good to go. We'll go a different direction with this lesson. But you and I both know that's impossible, because Jesus was without sin. Also, let's not lose sight of the fact that running in these circles does not produce happiness. You see, that's the big lie. That's the real secret. Do you want to know what the real secret in the room today is? Is the fact that Satan has so duped and deceived people that he's got them thinking that if you run in these circles, that's where happiness is. And it's a lie. It's just a flat out lie. Come hang out with us. Be like us. Do as we do because, well, it's fun. In other words, this is what brings happiness. And guess what? You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be happy. Isn't that the message that is communicated to us today, folks? Let me give you an example of this. All you got to do is go to YouTube, look up AT&T. There was a commercial back in 2014. You might remember this, where an adult is sitting in a classroom of kids, and there's a little round table, and there's children elementary school age, and there's probably about seven or eight of them in a circle, a semicircle, and this adult is sitting on the head of the table, and the commercial begins like this. Should I get a slow car or should I get a really fast car? And a little boy raises his hand and he says, yes. He says, well, get a really fast car. He says, but why should I get a really fast car? He says, because you deserve it. And he sat back for a moment. He says, you're right. I do deserve it. And all the little kids begin to chant, you deserve it, you deserve it. Look it up, you'll see it. But you see, that's the message that is being pumped into our brains today, our hearts. We deserve to be happy, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. This is what the world tells us. Brother and I want to let you know that this is the devil's lie that he is selling us. This entitlement to happiness has not made us better people. It has not. When we run with packs of people who advise us poorly and improperly, there is always, this is the side that you never see, there's always a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. True happiness is not the byproduct of adherence to evil associations and poor choices. It is not. How can we find happiness? God's Word says that the happy man is the man who delights in God's law, God's Word. And in His law and in His word, He meditates day and night. In other words, He's engrossed in it. He's spellbound by it. He's captivated by it. He's intent on learning God's word because he knows that God's instructions on how to live life are pure and they are true. Let me ask, does that represent you? If it does, then praise God. You know what joy and happiness and a delight it is to dive into God's Word and allow God to speak to your hearts. You know it's a source of happiness. So, what's the benefit? What's the payoff here? The author uses this powerful metaphor. Mike Wilson, you kind of selected a better song to lead prior to this lesson. He says, well, it's like this. It is like that tree, that fruit-bearing tree that is planted there in good soil and it has a constant flow of living water going right by it and feeding nutrients to it. It bears fruit. Its leaf never withers. It's firm. It's steadfast. What a powerful metaphor. Don't get sucked into a worldly mindset with this. The worldly mindset says, I'll prosper, because that's what he says. I'll prosper at whatever I do. Man, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, if life is going to be about prospering, then count me all in. I'll dig the Word of God. I'll start getting straight A's. Won't even have to work for it because, well, I prosper. I'm reading God's Word. I obey the gospel. And, I'll have great health and great wealth. It's all coming my way. Oh, how we have a tendency to miss things when our minds are not set on things above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, as Paul says. You see, the prospering, the growth in this passage is referencing the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, the spiritual person. He is bearing fruit, spiritual fruit. He is remaining steadfast and strong in his relationship with God, and he's constantly allowing God to speak to him, to his heart, and direct his life through his word. God's Word and obedience unto it is ensuring growth and stability. Happiness comes from obeying God. Happiness comes from obeying God. God rewards and blesses faithfulness. Always has, always will. You see, the reason we never see it, if we don't see it, it's because we don't step out on faith. We like to call the shots a lot of times. We like to call the shots. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child. That was God's promise. Has God ever lied? God's not in the lying business. Did they wait on God? Were they patient? No. Sarah convinces Abraham, take Hagar on, and so we will, in a legal sense, at least have a child through her, and Ishmael is born. And boy, oh boy, have there been consequences to those poor choices? There was then, there is now. Well, if happiness is found in obeying the Word of God, you can guess what disobedience brings about. You see, finding happiness is obeying God's Word, but forfeiting happiness represents this crowd. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. They shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, those very same individuals who are dishing out bad advice, who are clamoring for self-gratification, who are living for the moment, chasing what they think will make them happy, they ultimately find sorrow and sadness. You know it's true. And I know it's true. Happiness that is attainable and achievable is will only be embraced by the individual who embraces the Word of God. But sadly, these folks won't experience it. Instead of finding true happiness, folks choose to forfeit happiness, living irreverently and irresponsibly. Did I nail it? Isn't that about right? Let me ask you, are you happy? Are you guilt-free? I didn't say sin-free. We're all sinners. Is your conscience clear? Are you spiritually spotless? Is your life all about pleasing God? Do you find yourself hungering and thirsting for God's Word? Friend, I'm not standing up here and I'm not telling you that when you give your life to the Lord, that difficulty, problems, sorrow, troublesome times won't come your way. They do. But the very man who wrote, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, was a man who wrote that from a prison because of his relationship with God and his dedication and his devotion to the Lord. And no matter what happened to him, God was there with him. And God would reward him someday. After he has fought the fight, he has run the race, he has kept the faith. The very same man, the Apostle Paul said, there's a crown of righteousness that the Lord is waiting to give to me. But not only to me, but for all those that long for and love His appearing. Are you happy? Maybe you're just pretending to be happy. You've been walking, talking, sitting, standing with all the wrong people, and you've been doing all the wrong things. And you're just pretending to be happy. But you're not really. I'll conclude with this. Folks, there has never been a soul who has spiritually strived and thrived and lived to regret it. That's a fact. That's a fact. Do you know why? It is because they have found true happiness through their allegiance, their loyalty, and their love to the Lord and God's inspired Word. I want to encourage you this morning to surrender yourself to the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you come forward this morning. Please stop believing the lies of the devil. Repent of your sins. Come forward this morning. Confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Have those sins washed away. Rise out of that watery grave and walk in a newness of life, a new you. Wow. I have never seen an angry person rise out of the watery grave of baptism. I've never seen that. I have never seen that. Every soul that I've ever seen baptized into Christ has risen out of that watery grave thrilled, ecstatic, as the Ethiopian went away rejoicing. They found happiness. For those of us, some that they've strayed off the reservation, well, we found happiness, but we forfeited our happiness. We bought into the lies of the world. We made poor choices, bad decisions, and next thing you know, the very things that I did that were supposed to make me happy, I have found misery and pain and sorrow and sadness. We serve a God of second chances. And He loves us. He has invested so much. Because He loves you so much and He wants you to be in heaven with Him. But the decision is yours. I want to come forward this morning. I want to hit that reset button. I don't want to rededicate my life to the Lord and be the man, be the woman, that happy man, that happy woman that God intended for me to be. You have a church family here that is willing to love you, pray for you, and support you, and walk with you every step of the way to heaven. I promise you that. I promise you that. So what are you waiting on? Happiness is yours. Happiness that can be found in the Lord. And we pray that you come forward, you obey the gospel, you get your life right, as together we stand and sing the invitation song.